Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
Good evening, everyone. If you enjoy our show and find our research both interesting and informative, please can I ask that you consider leaving us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform. Something that small really does help us out a huge amount. You can also find out more about us and our work by heading over to deadsouls.co.uk and checking us out. We are a small team of 3 researchers with more than 70 years of experience between us. You can also find us and speak to us over on Instagram. Just search Dead Souls Social Club and we'll come up. So, as always, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This audio presentation contains graphic details of death, violence, and controversial subject matter. Listener discretion is strongly advised. From Dead Souls Media, this is The Fifth Plane. I'm Jamie Black, a researcher and psychologist, and I'll be your host for tonight. This isn't our weekly episode. Consider this a side story, news bulletin, or breaking news piece, if you will. So, TMZ has recently been reporting that on 9/11, there was actually a plan to hijack a fifth and possibly more planes, thus utilizing them in further terrorist attacks against the United States. Now, I appreciate that TMZ are not exactly known for their in-depth and reliable journalism, so I think it's with this in mind that many have missed this news piece altogether, or just outright ignored it. But on closer scrutiny, and packed away in between articles about the Kardashians, Taylor Swift and Diddy, I noticed a few interesting and credible elements to this story. So I began to pick it apart and see where the trail led me. Tonight we are going to look at the evidence that supports an FBI cover-up, further 9/11 terrorist attacks, and a secret kept from the American public for more than 2 decades.
Other than that, it's kind of quiet around the country. We like quiet. It's quiet. It's too quiet.
Yeah. This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center. Apparently, a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center in New York.
It does not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
Oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
Terrible. I did not see a plane go in. That just exploded.
We just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of absolute.
Yes,
and
that's
view.
The second explosion. You could see the plane come in just from the right-hand side of the screen. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway.
People are running away very, very quickly. There are more explosions further down the building.
I've never seen anything like it. It literally blew itself into World Trade Center.
The building's exploding right now. You got people running up the street.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. 2 airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
And the Pentagon is being evacuated. There is a large fire there, and that is the smoke you see in the shot that you are looking.
Only one tower is standing. The other has collapsed.
The whole side has collapsed?
The whole building has collapsed.
The whole building has collapsed?
The building has collapsed.
And then we saw smoke coming out, and everybody started running out, and we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere, and people are jumping out the windows. Over there, they're jumping out the windows, I guess, because they're trying to see themselves. I don't know.
And there's, you can see, perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord.
Those of you over the age of around 25 will need no explanation or introduction as to what happened on September the 11th, 2001. Even those of you who are not old enough to remember the events of that day firsthand will have heard the story, seen the footage, and are more than aware of what happened and the subsequent events that were a direct result of the Al-Qaeda terrorist attacks of that day. You will know that there were 2,977 innocent victims killed that day, and more than 6,000 injured. You will know that 19 hijackers under the direction of Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden carried out the attacks against the United States. You will know that in addition to the two planes that struck the World Trade Center in New York City, that there was also another plane that struck the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and another plane that was headed, it's speculated, for the Capitol building in Washington, before it was brought down by brave passengers crashing into a field in Pennsylvania. Following these terrorist attacks, the United States, along with its core allies, the United Kingdom, Germany, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, also launched a global war on terror, which included military operations in Afghanistan, where the goal was to dismantle Al-Qaeda and remove the Taliban from power, as well as the invasion of Iraq in 2003, which aimed to remove Saddam Hussein from power in that country. You will know all of this, no matter where in the world you are or were then. But what you might not know is what has recently emerged from a number of eyewitnesses and whistleblowers. So, the initial report from TMZ about a so-called FBI cover-up of a fifth terrorist cell and potentially more hijacked planes was initially reported back in March 2024 by the Fox Corporation-owned tabloid news website. It gained little interest or traction as a news story at the time. The story, however, re-emerged last week when TMZ decided to re-share the news story and upload it across its social media and YouTube platforms to draw in a wider audience. The basis for the article is the flight crew who served aboard United Flight 23. On the morning of 9/11 at 9:03 a.m., the time that the second aircraft hit the World Trade Center, another plane was taxiing to the runway at John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York. Following the impact of the second plane and emerging reports of other hijacked planes in the air, the Federal Aviation Authority took action to ground all further airplanes and prevent any others from taking off. San Francisco-bound United 23, which had arrived at the runway in preparation for takeoff, but at the very last minute, the plane was denied permission to take flight, and thus immediately called back to the terminal. Well, like hundreds of other flights across the United States that morning, the trip was over before it even began. Nothing out of the ordinary or special here. The crew, however, including the flight attendants, purser, and pilots, all told the FBI at the time that they were also a target and had narrowly missed being hijacked too. So let's dig a little deeper. So it seems that very mysterious things happened aboard United 23, and there seems to be some unbelievable evidence emerging that indicates a massive federal cover-up has taken place. So under fair use law and policy, I'm going to share a small excerpt of interview audio that was given to TMZ by direct eyewitnesses. Here are the flight attendants and the pilot talking about suspicious passengers in first class aboard United 23. Firstly, you will hear the voice of Deborah. She has chosen not to share her last name with the public.
My name is Deborah, and I was a purser on flight 23, September 11th, 2001. I had four people board the aircraft in first class. I knew that the people did not eat meat, so I spent a great deal of time trying to get these four people fruit plates.
The plane wasn't full that morning. There were just a few people in business and economy, and four people in first class. Next up is flight attendant Sandy.
My name is Sandy Thorngren. I was a flight attendant on flight 23. on September 11th, 2001. I was working in the business galley. I had gotten out, walked down the aisleway going up to first class, and I noticed there were four people in first class. What struck me at that time was there was a woman wearing a burqa. I figured it was a woman because that's who wears that. The opening of the headdress was very tight and you could barely see his eyes. I did explain to our purser that I thought that that wasn't a woman, it was actually a man.
A number of the flight attendants noted that the woman in the hijab was actually a man in disguise.
I was absolutely convinced it was a man. Absolutely. There was no doubt in my mind.
It was a man, and I could tell by the size of his hands. It was definitely a male underneath that burqa.
But the flight attendants also observed other strange passengers.
It was a taller, well-built gentleman in a tan suit, a young boy about 6 to 7 years old, a woman in a hijab, and a gentleman that appeared to be a type of bodyguard.
As I stated, the United 23 flight was at JFK when the first and second planes hit the Twin Towers. All flight patterns were aborted in the United States and no flights were permitted to take off. So this plane was abruptly grounded. But as it was about to take off, the pilot was alerted to very suspicious things happening by the flight crew. Here is one of the airport terminal staff named Edward.
My name's Edward Ballinger. I'm an aircraft flight dispatcher for United Airlines. So my job was to get the airplanes for my company safely to their destinations. I sent a group message to all my flights in the air. Beware cockpit intrusion. And every airplane got that message.
Here is what Tom Manello, the pilot of flight United 23, recalls from that day.
Carol and I looked at each other, and that's when we started getting a sense that something was seriously wrong and that somebody might be making a threat against the airplane. We used our suitcases and wedged them between the door into the cockpit and a bulkhead so that basically the only way anybody can get in the cockpit from that point out would be literally to break the door down. We have a couple items in the cockpit that we could use as weapons. One is a fire extinguisher, which I gave to Carol, and I said, if somebody does break through that door, hit him in the face with it. We also have a crash axe for ripping out panels in case of a fire, and I was going to take care of anybody that made it through the door. The next thing I remember was my first flight attendant called me, on our intercom and said, I don't know what's going on, but I just want to let you know we have four guys sitting in first class, and it just seems a little strange.
Passengers and flight crews from other hijacked flights and innocent people working in both of the Twin Towers were frantically calling family members, telling them that they were okay, and desperately seeking information. Sandy, the flight attendant, called her family too.
I got my phone and I spoke to my husband and he said that was one of you guys. That was a commercial airplane that has just crashed into the building. And I spoke to the captain and he said, everyone get in your seats, make sure this cockpit, no one comes near it. It's got to be secure.
It was organized pandemonium. We eventually got back to the gate. And we told the passengers that the airport was being evacuated. They were to get their belongings and leave immediately. And of course, they didn't need any encouragement.
So events continue to play out in strange and mysterious ways. According to eyewitness accounts by the flight crew, they saw people inside of the plane after the aircraft had been completely evacuated of all passengers and the crew had unboarded. The flight crew had checked every seat, aisle, and location in the airplane before leaving and locking the plane. Barbara Brocchi Smaldino, one of the lead flight attendants aboard United 23, states the following.
As we deplaned, we made sure lavatories were clear, every row was clear, there was not a person left on that plane.
In addition, the pilot, Tom Manello, added this.
We moved the bags out of the way, and there was a little peephole. I looked through, and the airplane was completely empty. All I saw was a United mechanic waiting for me, and when I opened the door, he says, "All right, guys, you'll have to get off the airplane. I've been ordered to lock up the airplane." So we did just that.
They opened the door to let everybody out, and as I'm handing out jackets to passengers in the business class, one passenger asked me, did they get the White House? I said, I would have no idea.
So by now, United 23 was completely empty and the plane was locked down by ground crew. JFK Airport was quickly being evacuated, as at that point, no one really knew if John F. Kennedy Airport would become a target. There were rumors, chaos, and uncertainty. Travelers and staff were scrambling from the building, which is when several eyewitnesses made a strange observation. This observation was made around 20 minutes after the aircraft had been locked down.
People on the ground, baggage people or somebody that worked on the ground there, saw people running in the aircraft.
The United 23 crew was becoming extremely suspicious and trying to let someone in authority know. They had concerns about the man in first class disguised as a woman. To board a plane in disguise would have taken fake identity documents. Additionally, there were two passengers who argued with the flight attendant when they were offered food. They insisted that the plane should take off quickly and the flight crew should not bother them with offers of food. Another flight attendant commented on another Middle Eastern man who was profusely perspiring in business class. He seemed anxious or worried about something. A passenger made a request to enter the cockpit before the plane had even left the ground. Curious and wanting to see the flight deck and meet the pilot, they reasoned. And there was that comment to the flight attendant by another Middle Eastern passenger as they deplaned, asking if terrorists had hit the White House with planes. Remember, this was less than 30 minutes after the planes had struck the World Trade Center. No one knew that a terrorist attack had taken place. It wasn't even being reported on the news that this was a terrorist attack at that point. Then, finally, to top it all off, two mysterious people were seen in the cabin after the plane was fully emptied and the door was locked. Multiple witnesses stated that they saw two men running through the locked plane. All of the flight attendants were questioned by the FBI the following day. They were questioned at a location which the cabin crew stated was not a police station, FBI, or any other government facility. They were questioned in an empty warehouse in what some are speculating was an FBI black site. They were asked to identify some of the passengers, some of whom, the FBI told the crew, were now missing.
The day after, we were all called by FBI telling us that they needed to interview us regarding the incidents of what had happened on the airplane. We ended up getting interviewed by the FBI. I did tell them that I felt there were some suspicious people on the airplane. And I pointed out exactly the four people in first class and two gentlemen in business, but the one that had the t-shirt on that had uncontrollable perspiration. I did tell them that.
The first thing they asked me was why the floor hatches were open on the airplane. I know there was a hatch in the floor forward of my seat at door one left. I know that hatch led down to the electronics for the cockpit, and the hatch is big enough for a large person to look down in there. About 20 minutes after we left, the agent saw something funny going on the inside of the aircraft, and they had somebody board the aircraft, and they found the hatches open in the floors. If the hatches were open, the people could not have gotten off the aircraft because the hatches were just too big to get around. They had to be opened after everyone had gone off the aircraft.
It asked questions like if I noticed the rug had been turned up around the hatch by the cockpit. When the SWAT team had come and opened the door, they found that the hatch that goes down into the area where all the equipment is, the electronics and all that. The hatch had been opened.
When I was talking to the FBI and they told me those floor hatches were open, I couldn't breathe. I tried to figure out how those hatches could be opened unless there was somebody down in the electronics area, and they opened it after we left the aircraft.
Maybe somebody was trying to get down the airplane without being noticed, and it could possibly be that there was evidence on the airplane they wanted to get rid of, whether it be box cutters in the seats or knives or weapons. I have no idea, but somebody could have entered the airplane through the electronics bay up into the cabin and removed whatever evidence they wanted to and then simply left the airplane.
It was the pilot of United 23 who put forward that perhaps there had been a cover-up on the FBI's part. He suggested that what was unfolding was a terrorist operation much larger than we initially realized, with weapons being placed inside of the aeroplanes that were used in the hijackings, ahead of time by operatives who were placed within the airport ground crew. After JFK Airport was shut down, federal authorities searched multiple aircraft on the airport tarmac. Security was extremely tight and the airport was evacuated by this point. The search included a plane parked next to United 23. It was another 767 that had not been scheduled to take off that morning, but a plane with a registration number that was just one digit different from United 23's.
The chief pilot reported to me that they had found box cutters on the airplane, and it was coincidentally just one number off mine. He asked me the tail number of the airplane I was flying, or the nose number we call. I gave it to him, and he said, "Well, I just want to let you know that we found two box cutters in the seat pockets in first class on the airplane next to it, which was the tail number was one digit off. If somebody was on the ground cooperating with them, they just simply made a mistake and put the box cutters on a wrong airplane."
To add further weight to Pilot Manella's suspicions are these comments from Lynn Spencer, another pilot who was at JFK Airport that day.
"My name is Lynn Spencer. I'm a former airline pilot and a flight instructor and an aviation safety investigator. I'm an author of a book about the air events of September 11th. During my research, it was made very evident to me from the highest levels of our government, members of the FBI, senior federal aviation officials, that there were more than just the four planes. They also shared with me some of the items that were found on other airplanes that didn't get off the ground on that day. The items that I was told had been found on planes were box cutters, specifically.
I believe that it's a reasonable assumption to think that those box cutters were meant for my airplane, not the one next to me. You have people that clean the airplane, people that load food on the airplane, that have access to the airplane. If somebody was in cooperation with the group, they could have been put there. There are a host of people that have access to the airplane. It wouldn't be the hardest thing in the world to get on an airplane like that. It's the one thing that makes me think that there's a good chance that somebody was plotting to try to use our airplane as a weapon of mass destruction."
The 923 would have become airborne right about the time of the other hijacked aircraft on September 11th. And there's very little doubt in my mind that United 23 was a fifth airplane.
The FBI and federal government deny there were further planes, further terrorists, and any more to the 9/11 attacks than has already been made public. But there are enough witnesses and ex-federal staff members who have blown the whistle to suggest that a massive federal cover-up has taken place regarding the events of 9/11. Many people are asking a lot of questions about that day right now, and have been consistently doing so in the 24 years since the September 11 attacks. The possibility of a fifth or maybe even more planes? Of there being more targets than the four that we know about? Maybe even including the White House? And 9/11 being an even bigger operation with many more people involved is something that there is growing suspicion and indeed evidence of. Have we truly got the full story about September 11th? So many things don't make sense, And that's without even me getting started on the collapse of the towers and surrounding buildings. Or the fact that the alleged terrorists were for the most part Saudi nationals, yet it was the Iraqis and Taliban that were targeted for retribution. I think an independent investigation is more than justified and warranted at this point. A new commission. So much evil happened that day in 2001. The world was forever changed in the space of 90 minutes, and so many things still don't add up. What do you believe? What are your thoughts on 9/11 and the many conspiracies that surround those events? Share your thoughts in the comments below, if you are listening on YouTube, or reach out on Instagram and have a conversation with us. This was a fairly last-minute episode that we quickly put together to report on this news piece. Our regular scheduled episode will drop later this week. Finally, head over to our Patreon and join up if you haven't already. It's just $2, and for that you get extra episodes, blog posts, research articles, and we will even be dropping exclusive merch over there soon. Awesome. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.